We're hot.
We're hot. We're hot guys doing a hot. Mics are hot. Wow, that is a great, great banter voice.
Thank you.
Go eat all with Tay and Gay.
Stop. Good afternoon, everyone out there. Thank you for joining us for another enlightening episode of Know It All with Tay and Kay. I'm Tay.
And I'm Kay.
And today's topic is special because it is probably our first podcast since, well, you know, I would say blasphemy, that every single one of our listeners can in some way relate to.
Absolutely. Our topic today carries with it an intriguing juxtaposition in that it is a universally shared human activity which we all collectively experience effectively in solitude.
The name of the game today is sleep. So, first question.
Yes.
It's a simple one.
Right.
What is sleep?
Well, Taylor, that's not so simple. The nature and purpose of sleep remains a mystery. While we know that we need it, nobody is quite sure what specific evolutionary advantage is proffered by a forced state of prolonged unconsciousness. We sleep so much nowadays that it encompasses literally a third of our lives. Terrible shame. Sorry, tangent, but Taylor, I can't help but notice that you are drenched in sweat.
God, no, I'm burning up.
Take the blanket off.
No, I can't. It's
and put,
freezing
put
here.
The coffee down, all right?
Well, it's only my second pot.
Logan, did you give Taylor an entire pot of coffee? Whatever happened to mugs, Logan? Answer me. Whatever happened to mugs? Answer me! Here, Taylor, take this. You need to relax.
What's that?
It's a chill pill.
It's a sleeping pill.
Thank you. Oh, it's so colorful. It's just like candy.
Yes. Just like candy. Taylor, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm worried about your health to a degree which I've never before experienced. How much have you slept in the past few months?
Oh, 8-9 hours a week.
How is that even possible?
Oh, easily. I tend to take dozens, sometimes over 100 micro-naps throughout the day.
Taylor, please. Just go to sleep, for your own sake?
No. Don't you see? I've got a train. I'm going to break the world record for the longest period of time a human being has ever gone without sleep.
Really? Wow, that's so strange. I've actually been training for the exact opposite.
Is that why you've been unavailable on Sundays?
You bet, and half of Mondays, too.
Very impressive. But honestly, I'm just not a big fan of sleep.
Why do you hate it so much?
Well, it's self-serving, it's greedy, it's wasteful, and it makes people live longer lives without giving their lives more substance, which leads to overpopulation, which leads to more demand for resources, which drives up gas prices and leads to a larger carbon footprint for the human race.
Yeah, I suppose that's...
I'm telling you, if people never slept, we would not be facing so many insurmountable problems today.
I had no idea you felt so strongly about this.
I feel terribly strongly about this. That's why I barely sleep at all anymore.
But I can't help but think, Taylor, that your training regimen is unorthodox. Why don't you just try to stay up for 20 hours at a time, and then 21, and then 22, and on and on and on until you've broken Henrietta Bancher's record of 17 days?
See, that's just a thing. Her record can be broken. That means mine could be broken. I'm going for the unbreakable record, Kevin. I've been training myself to function on less and less sleep per day, and I've got it to the point where I can function perfectly fine on just 2 hours
or so. That's debatable.
If I can get down to no sleep, then every moment I am alive, I will continually be breaking the record until it's anatomically impossible for even a hyper-evolved David Blaine-type superhuman to break my record without going mad and dying in pulse-pounding waking nightmare. So now that I have it down to 2 hours, soon it'll be 1 hour, then half an hour, then 15 minutes, then 5 minutes, then one, then 30 seconds, then 10 seconds, then 1 second. 1 second of sleep per day, Kevin, that's uncanny. Then a millisecond, a nanosecond, a picosecond, until I only require a quantum amount of sleep, which, let's be real, can the record keepers even detect an amount of time that small? Can they even consider it sleep?
They don't even have a name for such a tiny amount of sleep.
I do. The Taylor.
That's clever. You know, please accept 2 chill pills as a reward. Which should have taken effect by now.
They taste terrible.
You're not supposed to chew them. You're supposed to wash them down with water.
Coffee, way ahead of you. You know, if you can infinitely subdivide your sleep on a quantum level, who's to say you couldn't literally constantly be flitting between sleep and wakefulness at an indiscernible rate?
Or maybe you could even sleep for 2 whole months and remain awake for the rest of the year.
That's brilliant. I mean, that's two records at once, unless you count comas.
Which we don't.
I mean, how could we? Comas aren't sleep. They're a form of hypermetabolic non-neural paralysis.
How do you know all this?
Well, when you sleep as little as I do, you have plenty of time alone to do research on stuff like this. I mean, what else am I supposed to do at 3:30 in the morning? Exercise? Cook? Clean? My children are very light sleepers, thanks to me, and all that racket would just rouse them like little ants. Ants! Ants! Crawling over my hair and shoes! How can you be so stupid, Kevin? How can you be so disgustingly dim-witted?
Whoa! Where is this coming from?
Silence! I will not have you infecting this recording studio with your contrarianism. This is exactly the type of topic which we should be getting upset about.
Yes, okay, but is now specifically the best time?
I suppose you're right. God, I feel so tense!
You know, when I feel a little tense or angry, you know what I like to do?
What's that?
Take a nap.
Way ahead of you.
Taylor, whoa, wait. Hey. Taylor, wake up. Taylor, we still have an episode to finish.
Yeah. Okay, episode. Right.
Taylor, a little thought experiment.
Go.
Okay, imagine that you're downtown purchasing a fine charbroiled Frankfurter from Carmine's Hot Dog Emporium.
I love Carmine's. Do not stop.
But there's such a long line at Carmine's.
I mean, it's worth the wait.
You turn to strike up a conversation with the man in front of you.
Whoa. This thought experiment went from plausible to absurd in the blink of an eye. But, you know, go ahead. I'm going to humor you.
Okay, so the man looks at you and he says, I'll let you trade places with me in line if you give me 25 years of your life.
Without hesitation, I would take the offer.
What?
I mean, maybe if you had used a lesser hot dog emporium as an example, I would be shocked or appalled or whatever you expected me to feel. But this is Carmine's we're talking about. Who else makes hot dogs with Wagyu beef?
That is true. Okay. My mistake. Let's trade Carmine's for Ricci's Italian beef.
I would tell that man to go fuck his mother. There's not a single Italian beef in the world that's worth 25 years of my precious life.
Whoa.
I'd tell that Richard Wizard Taylor. That he could go tell everybody on the...
Taylor, sit down! Taylor!
What?
It's just a thought experiment, Taylor.
What? Oh, God. I'm sorry. I'm really, really tired.
See? This is a lack of sleep. See, a lack of sleep can have a drastic effect on your psyche, on the human psyche. Sure, we may think that we have conquered nature with our electric cars and our desalinization plants and strike anywhere matches, but the fact of the matter is that for a few hours a day, we are slaves to our slumber lord, the Sandman.
Yeah, fuck him too.
Whoa, Taylor! What? Take another chill pill. Here.
Okay, so... How... What are we talking about?
We're talking about sleep, okay? But okay. First, we have to take a little word from our sponsors.
Time for a micro nap.
Hey, Taylor. Whoa. What's with your neck? It's looking mighty curvy.
Thanks.
That's not a compliment, buddy. Have you been sleeping without a pillow by any chance?
Obviously. I'm not a baby or a woman, so why would I sleep on one at all?
Taylor, pillows aren't just for infants and females any longer.
Wait, they're not?
No. Thanks to Pete's Pillows for Men, ordinary pillows are soft and are often filled with sissy cotton. Pete's Pillows are stuffed to the brim with smoky mesquite wood chips and come encased in manly materials like leather, birch bark, and alligator skin.
Whoa, that's great, Kevin. But do you think Pete's Pillows for Men can really cure my neck issues?
Why don't you try one out for yourself?
All right. Jeez, do I feel refreshed.
Taylor, your neck.
Oh, it's feeling straight as an arrow.
And your hair. Oh, it smells like hickory smoked barbecue. Gosh.
Oh, I think I could use a nap. Give me that pillow, bro.
You got it, man. Good night.
Pete's Pillows for Men. Strong enough for a man. We can't talk about sleep without delving into the world of dreams, a wondrous world of our own creation which we inhabit for a third of our lives without ever really discussing. Taylor is fast asleep, and his rapid eye movement tells me that he's currently dreaming, so if I just give him a little kick and wake him up, we glimpse into Taylor's subconscious. Hey, wake up!
Oh, human, no! And we're back.
Taylor, we've been back.
What?
You overnapped past the commercial.
Not a chance. My mental clock is impeccable. That's why I never wear a watch.
You are one of the tardiest people I've ever met.
Just because I have perfect time doesn't mean I don't understand how to be fashionably laid.
Okay, so were you just dreaming?
Of course.
What was your dream about?
Oh, well, I was at home in my study. Right. I was wearing a very comfortable royal blue velvet robe. Mm. There was fire lit, and I had a snifter of cognac in my hand. And as I sat in a large leather chair admiring my trophies, the firelight cascading over me, I began reading a book.
What book was it?
You know, I can't recall, but it was hardbound, of moderate length, and looked just like one of the thousands of classics covering the shelves all around me. I read the book.
And then what?
Well, eventually I finished it. I mean, it was okay, decent at best. It didn't really do it for me.
Are your dreams always this banal?
Banal? That was one of the more eventful dreams I've had in a while. I mentioned the cognac, right?
You did.
Usually my dreams are just reviews of what I did since I last slept, sometimes played in fast motion, which isn't as funny as it sounds. Is that not normal?
I would say that having normal everyday dreams every day is not normal.
What do you dream about?
Oh, all sorts of stuff. My dreams are crazy. I mean, most often they defy description. Words just can't articulate the spectacularness. Last night, I was a black hole, speeding through the cosmos, devouring time itself, when I fell deeply in love with the ghost of Eleanor Roosevelt. Now, I know what you're saying. How could a black hole marry Eleanor Roosevelt? But just trust me when I tell you that it worked. It made perfect sense. So I gave up eating time, and we opened a bakery where we sold cookies shaped like different types of spiders.
I just don't believe that.
You don't believe what? That I dreamt that? Because I did.
No, I just couldn't suspend my disbelief enough to actually think that I was a black hole, or that I could eat time, or... I mean, a girl like Eleanor Roosevelt would ever go for a guy like me.
Well, when you're dreaming, you can't not believe it.
You know, every once in a while, I will have something strange happen in one of my dreams. Take my reading in the study dream, which is a classic, very standard. Sometimes, for example, I will turn the page of a book I'm reading, and the next page will have a face scrawled over it, a disturbing, hollow sort of face with years worth of loneliness in its creases, and in a harsh, sibilant voice, it'll say something to the effect of, "Jump into my mouth to see inside yourself," or "Let slip the darkness within your soul," or "Eat your kids." And this, unveilingly, is when I close the book and grab another.
Have you ever wondered what would happen if you did indeed jump into that book's mouth?
Of course I haven't, and those imaginary books aren't going to read themselves, Kevin.
But in dreams, the impossible is possible.
I'm a realist, Kevin. Asleep or awake, if I put my mind to it, anything is possible. What use is it for me to experience the fantastic or the spectacular if it's just in my imagination?
You can instantly find yourself engulfed in some bizarre environment with strange people without ever leaving your bed.
Ugh, sounds exhausting. You know, if I wanted to transcend space and time, I'd do it in my waking hours, thank you very much. The only reason I sleep is to rest, and if I'm flying around the planet in some hyper blimp or something, I'm not taking it easy like my doctor has told me again and again to do.
Okay, well, if it's doctor's orders...
Yeah, I mean, besides with my pacemaker, having dreams which are too stimulating is a legitimate threat.
Safety first.
I get where you're coming from, though, Kevin. I was your age once. I was an adrenaline junkie then, too. At that time, I would dream of anything. Dragons, orgies, faster than light travel, you name it. But I have a family now. Gotta be more responsible than that.
You're a year younger than me?
Maybe if there was some way for me to control my dreams so that I could experience the fantastic worlds of my own creation, rather than potentially being slave to some nightmare hellscape, I would cherish the relationship to my subconscious more. But, you know, we've been together for so long. The magic is gone, Kevin. The spark just isn't there anymore.
What would you say if I told you that there was a way to control your dreams?
I wouldn't say anything. I would simply throw hot coffee in your face for being a liar.
There is a way to control your dreams.
Coffee's done. Be right back.
Hold on there, Taylor. It's not a lie. It's lucid dreaming.
Sounds like some government mind control conspiracy fuel to me.
It's a real thing, and the government can't touch it. In fact, it is probably the only place the government can't spy on you.
I'm listening.
Did you ever read Harold and the Purple Crayon?
Are you kidding? I've penned hundreds of Harold fanfics that are all over the internet.
Imagine living in a world where you were Harold, and you had a crayon of every color. You could shape the world to your liking. You could create or destroy whatever you wish. Do you want a baseball stadium in space? No problem. You want to fill that stadium with Gary Shandlings? Done. You want the Gary Shandlings to randomly pop into clouds of confetti? Easy peasy, I'm telling you, Taylor, with lucid dreaming, your dreams really can come true. Well,
what if I want to dream about, like, a cure for cancer? Could I then wake up with the cure for cancer? If anything is possible with lucid dreaming, then Certainly I could find the cure for cancer, the fountain of youth in Bigfoot, and then transfer that knowledge to the real world.
I can't believe no one has ever thought of that before.
Kevin, can you believe it? All this time, the answers to all of life's problems.
Not just life's problems, the mysteries of the universe.
Have been tucked away in our subconscious.
And we've just been too stupid to look.
Too unforgivably stupid.
Reprehensibly naive and irresponsible.
Before we even publish this episode, I think we need to do some severe intranodding and cure all world problems. How does it work?
Lucid dreaming?
Yeah, how do we do it?
Pretty much you just have to develop the habit of questioning your reality in daily life so that when you dream, you question your subconscious reality and eventually you become aware of the difference between the two and then you gain control.
Let's get started right away.
In the middle of the show?
Kevin, people are dying of cancer at this very moment. Now give me a handful of chill pills. There are lives at stake.
You're right. Forgive me for my selfishness.
You take the show from here. I'll return only when I have attained all human knowledge.
Then we should do an episode about all human knowledge.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. And I'm out.
Taylor? Taylor. You're a sad man whose continuous facade of happiness is a pathetic mystery to all who reluctantly engage with you. Okay, he's out. Lucky, too. It takes me forever to fall asleep.
Oh,
Taylor!
Oh, it's terrible!
What?
I did just as you said.
What?
I jumped into the mouth of that book!
Yes.
And I was falling down an endless black pit when below me I saw splayed out in front of me the answer to all of life's mysteries.
Yes.
And before I could get a good look at them, I woke up.
That quickly?
How long has it been?
Maybe 30 seconds.
Oh, that's long for a micro-nap. I'm not going to be able to get back to sleep for at least 15 minutes.
What?
Is that what you mean by exciting dreams? That was awful. I'm shaken.
You're sweating a lot. I mean, even for you.
I'm freezing. I think I should stick to my simple dreams of reading errands and scrapbooking.
Taylor, I think it may be in your best interest to up your sleep to maybe 3 hours a day.
I am okay not knowing all the mysteries of the universe if it means that I don't have to be sent careening down a blacker-than-black abyss or devoured by some man-hungry land whale. Mundane dreams are not so bad if it means that I can spend the other 22 hours of the day creating, learning, and eating. Kevin, don't you want to spend more time eating?
Of course, but I'm just looking out for your best interest, Taylor. Taylor? Taylor!
Oh, gosh, Kevin, I... Wow, that was some dream.
Huh?
What?
Taylor, did you just wake up again?
Wait, what are you talking about? Right. In my dream, I woke up from another dream, and then I was podcasting with you.
But I was just podcasting with you.
Oh, cool. Did we have the same dream?
No. So you were just asleep?
Yes.
Until, like, 5 seconds ago?
Yes.
Ooh. Taylor, I hate to be the one to break this to you, but I think that you've been getting more than just a couple hours of sleep per day.
Well, that's preposterous. I'm a highly efficient go-getter. I'm almost always conscious, and I don't sleep all day like some irresponsible toddler.
Taylor, I'm not saying you're a total fraud. I'm saying that I think that you were sleepwalking.
I'm in a chair, Kevin.
No, okay, I mean, I think you've been sleepwalking, sleep driving, sleep podcasting, sleep eating, sleep living.
So my dreams
are literally just your life. Which means that you are living your life's dream, which is more than I can say about myself.
Am I awake right now?
And if not, does that mean that I'm just in your mind?
I'm not sure.
Don't wake up.
Well, I certainly won't wake up now, or else I'd miss this word from our sponsors.
Hey, Nurse Sue here. This weekend at the Ridge Avenue Mini Mall, to celebrate National Grandparents Day, bring Grammy and Pop down to the Ridge Avenue Mini Mall for the annual Ridge Avenue Mini Mall Blood Drive. Our friendly nurses and blood staff have experience drawing blood from people and animals of all ages, so bring the kids. There will also be funfair, clowns, balloons, bubbles, and the comedic stylings of local prop comedy legend Guilfoyle Fivehead Forsyth. The first 50 people to donate their blood will also be entered to win a brand new golf cart. Join us this weekend for the annual Ridge Avenue Mini Mall Blood Drive. Please refrain from bringing in jars, bags, or bowls of your own blood. We can no longer accept mysterious blood in strange receptacles.
What have I become?
Well, actually, Taylor, your sleep habits are hardly unusual in the animal kingdom.
Really?
You know, fish?
Yeah.
And most other sea animals actually employ a method called aquasleep, a process by which the fish shuts off one hemisphere of its brain at a time.
So you're saying I'm more like a fish?
Yes.
You can understand how I'd be insulted by the comparison you've drawn.
Well, aquasleep is a very specialized and evolved form of sleep that has taken millions of years to cultivate. And remember, not all fish are brain-dead guppies or promiscuous trout. Sharks are fish, too.
It's exclusive to the sea, though? I mean, that's too bad.
Well, a few land animals have developed something similar.
Yeah? Who?
Well, you, along with several varieties of pachyderm, as well as 12 known species of spider and the common cat.
You like house cats?
Yeah. Like their arch nemesis, the fish, cats shut off parts of their brain in order to give it a rest, but they are hardly specialized enough to shut off specific lobes.
Right.
So, a cat may shut off one portion of its brain that controls motor functions, rendering it motionless and seemingly asleep when it is, in fact, cognitively alert. Or, conversely, it will shut off the part of the brain which controls higher thinking and wander around aimlessly.
I will never look at cats the same way again.
And cats actually cannot look at you because the motor and cognitive parts of a cat's brain are never in sync. Their eyes never see.
My cat looks at me all the time.
It may point its eyes at you, but I promise there is nothing behind them. Not a thing.
That's the life of a cat. A perpetual haze of consciousness.
Now you may be wondering if it is indeed possible for something to be in a state of sleep and still be apparently functional. Now Taylor here is a great example of this phenomenon, apparently. Or isn't. You know, we really can't be sure right now.
You know, perhaps we are all always asleep, though. I mean, maybe all of our conscious thoughts are merely one big dream from which we may never wake up.
Interesting.
I mean, to that end, we feel that it may be necessary to figure out what is and what isn't sleep.
Because the answer isn't as clear as we thought.
I mean, for example, comas. You know, are they asleep?
No, we discussed this. Comas are brain damage and they're no laughing matter. Moving on.
Okay, hypnosis.
Absolutely not. Hypnosis, however, is very real. While it is traditional for a hypnotist to coax his victim into a slumberous state, the victim rarely achieves actual sleep.
I mean, more often than not, the victim is usually induced into hallucinating by the magic effect of a ticking pocket watch.
And when she's under...
She's like putty in the hands of some shifty-eyed no-goodnik.
Yeah, hypnosis is more like... sexual assault.
Hibernation.
Certainly. Why, if you want proof, just wake up a bear during a nap and compare its behavior to when it's forced out of hibernation.
While it may take more effort to dehibernate the bear, either way, it's just as grouchy as Grandma before she's had her Saturday morning smokes.
You said it. Now, hibernation may, in fact, be the ultimate form of sleep. I can't think of anything sleepier. I'm getting sleepy just talking about it.
Me too. About cryogenic freezing.
Have you ever seen a cryogenically frozen body?
I mean, no.
Eyes wide open. They're conscious the whole time. They are very awake. Conscious, but ageless.
No, my record!
No, it's okay. No, it doesn't count, though. They have artificial help for that. Could you really call a man the world's strongest man if he had mechanized arms? No. He would be, at best, the world's strongest cyborg. And also the world's only cyborg.
I guess that means I should just keep training.
No, in fact...
I will not be cowed by your naysaying! What about hypersleep, like when people travel to space in movies?
This is one of my specialties. Hypersleep is actually better described as mini-death, and death, as we both know all too well...
is not sleep.
Trust us.
Lucid dreaming.
Well, if we define sleep as a state of temporary physical paralysis and uncontrolled mental delirium, then I'm not sure. The world may never know. Unless we enter the dreaming again, achieve lucidity, and find out for ourselves.
Kevin, I'm not sure if I really want to be a lucid dreamer. I mean, it's just too much responsibility.
Well, you don't have to find the cure for cancer or gain access to all human knowledge. That's merely one of many options available to you as a lucid dreamer.
Right.
You could, theoretically, choose to dream a dream in which you live your life stream, breaking the world record for sleep deprivation. And I could dream a dream in which I never wake up. Until, of course, I actually wake up.
And a lucid dream doesn't have to be fraught with a series of burdensome choices. I can simply decide that I want to soar through a wondrous polychromatic joyscape with no regard for consequences of my actions.
Yeah, but Kevin, did you ever stop to think about the effect your dreams may have on the denizens of your dreams?
No, because they aren't real.
Oh, really?
Yes, dreams are manifestations of my subconscious, and every mermaid, planetoid, or ethereal tiger I encounter is merely a figment of my imagination.
Kevin, as far as we know, everything is a figment of your imagination, right?
Duh.
Then, yeah. Kevin, that makes you a potential god. And I, too, am in the same predicament, which is why, in my dreams, I tread lightly. Don't make too much fuss about anything. You know, just go about my business while making sure to do as little harm as possible, because as far as I know, the things I'm dreaming are the only real things out there.
Taylor, I think you need to take a step back, lie down, and drink this glass of warm cream.
This cream tastes just like those pills.
That's because it's organic. Or raw, or whatever. Just keep drinking.
You're right. God, I should just chill out and not let myself get all worked up over something as trivial as the possible non-existence of everything I ever thought was real.
Yeah, and maybe take a micro-nap.
Yeah.
Heck, take 10 micro-naps in a row.
Yeah, that's it.
Ooh, hello there. Thank you for joining us for another rousing episode for Know It All with Tay and Kay. I'm Tay.
Taylor.
And cut! Kevin, I'm just trying to do the intro. Logan, can we try this again?
We already recorded the episode.
Don't be ridiculous. And Logan, I don't want to hear any of your shit.
Look at the monitor. We've been recording for nearly half an hour.
What are you talking about?
Taylor, you've been sleep living again.
Sleep living? What's that?
I think we might just want to end the episode.
What? Why?
Because... Well, we usually say, that's everything, because we thoroughly scrutinize every aspect of our subject matter until nothing is left. But this time, I think that going any deeper into our study of sleep and dreams may be so dangerous to your fragile little psyche that perhaps it's best to leave this book unfinished. You know, leave a few stones unturned. Inspect it from top to about three quarters of the way down.
No.
Taylor, if you wake up again, it could kill us all.
I don't want that to happen.
No one does.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in to what I can only assume was the best episode of Know It All with Tay and Kay yet.
Hey, whoa. You might be standing on the precipice of a major breakthrough, but that doesn't mean that we don't have some time for a little listener mail.
Oh, all right. Listener mail.
Now, this week's letter comes from Francine Thornbush in Vancouver. Oh, in Canada. She writes, Dear Tay and Kay, as Vancouver's most prominent Wikipedia article editor, I took it upon myself to edit your article to reflect the truth, but it appears impervious to any of my changes. Whoa. Just wanted you to know that fans everywhere are looking out for you guys, even though I couldn't get through. Maybe reach out to your other more computer-savvy listeners out there. Thanks for the podcast. Keep the good times rolling. Best wishes, Francine Thornbush.
Thank you, Francine, for... Well, I don't know what I should be thanking you for. I mean, you could have, you know, tried beyond, you know, just hitting edit and clicking various buttons and slapping various keys like a child on your keyboard. But if you had, I don't know, cared, maybe you could have learned HTML5, CSS, Ruby on Rails, and figured out how to hack it a deck and get into that computer and make it say the stuff that's really true instead of the BS that it says on that Wikipedia page right now, which is... It doesn't say anything! Francine, I don't know that this is your fault or not, but I am 100% sure that this is your fault. You know what button to click. Unsubscribe.
Thank you, Francine, for writing in. Thank you to all of our listeners who we enjoy all of your letters, the multitudes that come in. So please feel free to send them in.
Sorry, just feel free.
Sorry, we can't get to all of them on the air, but we do read them all and we do respond to some of them.
Well, I suppose that concludes our episode of Know It All with Tay and Kay. Thank you for joining us, and be sure to join us next time when we discuss sandwiches.
This week's episode of Know It All with Tay and Kay was brought to you by the World Wide Web.